I mean, we have to keep shooting. I mean, that we are one of the teams that is shooting the best percentage, and we are shooting probably the highest number of threes in a whole league. So we got great shooters. We have to stay confident and keep taking those three, even they are not getting in.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Stop it. That's not how the laptop works.
Well, I was trying to read the story. They bought an island?
Yeah. You just scroll up and down that way. That's not a touch screen.
Oh. Well, let me see. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill bought
an island. They purchased a 20-acre island in the Bahamas. They bought the island to build their very own private island paradise. Apparently, it's taken them several years to get to that point.
Much for them being back at Mama's.
Yeah, no,
they're not going back to Mama's. They're done raising cattle.
Going back to the Bahamas is where they're going.
It's surprising. I didn't even think they liked each other.
Oh, Lord. I think
Faith's there for 1 week. Tim's there for the next.
That sounds more like it.
You guys think you're so funny with that.
No, I just...
Like, you can tell totally they don't like each other.
Don't you think they got to a point
anymore,
where they got like so famous, they're like, we really can't end this thing. Like,
no.
We're stronger together.
We're in too deep.
I think they're the vision of love. Now, I don't care exactly how that love came about, but I feel like they are kind of the new age Garth Brooks and...
Trisha Yearwood.
Which may have come along in kind of a scandalous Babe Ruth type way, but
much like Faith Hill and Tim McGraw did.
That's a pretty salacious claim, Scotty.
It was the spontaneous combustion tour of '96. No pun intended. And she was married to Scott Hendricks, who I believe was the president of a record label. And they went on tour together, and they came back, and Faith didn't want to be married anymore.
Okay, but have we ever asked what he did to start things? Because my guess is a lot of the blame lies
upon
him.
Don't you blame him for her infidelity?
Have we ever said that? Have we ever asked that?
I think you can just put two and two together there.
Were you hitting the post on country music when this
happened? Oh, yeah. I was right in the middle. That was back in the country music heyday. We had all kinds of fun with those rumors.
This thing was brewing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I love to see them sing together. I did take Amanda to their concert, and it was very good. It was not in the top, I don't know, 10 concerts I've been to. I was shocked by how awkward Faith Hill dances. But that does not change how I feel about Faith Hill. Faith Hill will always be the ultimate female country singing voice to me.
It's not a good dancer, though, huh?
No. No, you know me, I've got no rhythm. But I'm watching her, I'm like, is she hearing different music in her ear? Because I think she's not dancing to what she's singing. She couldn't possibly be. Like, she's got headphones in listening to something else.
I don't know. Tim McGraw, better dancer?
He doesn't dance much. He just kind of extends his
probably what Faith
taps his feet a lot.
It's probably what Faith should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, Faith dances like she's got a sprained ankle and just kind of hobbles along. And it's like, what is she doing? It's awkward.
It's like the Elaine from Seinfeld?
Yeah. Yeah, but she's... But she's such a good singer and so absolutely stunning. She's just...
You know who's a real good dancer?
Captivating. Who?
Carrie Underwood.
Okay. Now I'm done with this. I'm done.
That's for sure.
I don't know if she can dance or not.
Don't say that's for sure. Have you watched the Sunday Night Open? She can't dance. She's completely ruined Sunday Night Football.
No, she did not.
She single-handedly ruined it. They have traced back the 12% drop in ratings to her stupid open.
Kaepernick, 0.5. Carrie Underwood, 11.5% of the 12%. I love it. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Jazz in action tonight, taking on the Portland Trailblazers. Portland's just been hanging out. They had a practice at the arena yesterday. in the middle of the day, went back, sat in the hotel room, ate some good room service, watched the Jazz go into overtime in a hard-fought game against the Suns, in which the Jazz then caught a plane and came back to Salt Lake City, probably got here 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and get set for a showdown tonight against this Trailblazer team that's well-rested in a battle tonight here at Vivint.
Which means all signs point to the Utah Jazz winning. Because the things that make sense in this season don't make sense, and the things that do, don't. And I could just see the Utah Jazz finding a way on very little sleep, on no shoot-around, on, I would imagine, fumes after an overtime push. And you could see that that entire roster was putting their hearts into wanting to beat the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
the Jazz wanted that game. You could see it on their face. And for one reason or the other, my guess is they'll show up. And I don't care what anybody says. There were two major deadline trades that Scotty and I really focused on. It was Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
And I put Aaron Gordon number one. And I believe you put Norman Powell number one. Did you go Norman Powell number one or Aaron Gordon number one?
I can't remember. I think I went Powell just to... for conversation's sake.
Well, Aaron Gordon has absolutely found a home with the Denver Nuggets. But let me tell you, Norman Powell has found an equal portion of home with the Portland Trailblazers. He is putting up points. He's finding his stride. He had 32 points the other night against the Clippers. And if the Jazz think that this is the Portland Trailblazer team they saw game one right out of the gates, this is not that team. This team is playing well. They've obviously in the last three games they had a loss to Milwaukee and they've had a loss to the Clippers. They're battle tested over the last five games, but they're doing to the teams that they should beat exactly what the Jazz are doing to those teams. They beat OKC 133-85. They beat Detroit 124-100. They beat Toronto a week ago, 122-117. So they're beating those teams soundly. And as Scotty mentioned, they're rested.
They're rested, but rest doesn't make you a better defensive team. And they are one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. One of the best offensive teams, offensive rating of 116.9. That's fifth in the NBA. But their defensive rating of 116.8, that's 29th in the league defensively. If the Jazz have had some shooting woes and they've had some issues, offensively, Portland is hopefully good for what ails them, because this is not a good defensive team they're playing tonight. And I fully anticipate you're going to see the Jazz start knocking down some shots. I would be surprised if the Jazz are under 32-33% from three tonight. They've played two games where they've really struggled from the outside shot. I know they're tired and they may not have their legs, but I believe you're going to see a much better shooting performance tonight from the Jazz.
Have we had any official word on Yusuf Nurkic? I know he was listed at day-to-day, and I don't know.
I think, yeah, I'm just pulling up the injury report here.
Nurk is probable for tonight?
Let's see. Probable, Norman Powell. Questionable is Nurkic.
Oh, okay.
Zach Collins is out.
So Powell is probable. Nurk is questionable.
Correct.
Boy, I really want to see both those guys on the court. And I'd seen that Nurkic sat out in that last game against the Clippers. I hope he's on the court, because I just want to see a fully loaded Portland Trailblazers team tonight. And then what was the news for the Jazz that you
mentioned? Mike Conley's good to go. It was Jordan Clarkson who's out, or not out, but doubtful with a right ankle sprain.
I think Mike's playing just because Clarkson's out.
Probably. That's a good point. And I don't know, they probably realize maybe a little bit of the urgency of the situation, too.
That's actually pretty telling, I feel like, of how urgent they feel maybe the game is.
Oh, the game is, this game is, it's got high importance. The problem is all three of us could more easily explain away a loss against Portland tonight than we could a loss to Dallas a couple of nights ago, or certainly a loss to Phoenix last night. Tonight against Portland, there's some excuses that are built in. But again, that's why they'll probably come in and win. They feel the energy of it and they feel the need of it. You know, Phoenix is now a game and a half back of that one spot.
Yeah.
And they've got to find a way to extend. And I'm looking at this, Scotty. There is not – they had a back-to-back loss back on March 1st and March 3rd. That was New Orleans and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They lost back-to-back games. You got to go all the way back to the second week of the season or third week of the season, that back-to-back loss of Brooklyn and New York. They do not have three losses in a row yet this season. They do
really?
Not. They do not have a three-game losing streak so far this season. And they stand right in the middle of possibly having that happen. And, yeah, Lloyd and Scotty, I think that this team should feel a sense of urgency. They get a couple of day rest, and then they take on Sacramento, Washington, and Oklahoma City. And I know Washington had that win earlier against them when Russell Westbrook decided he wanted to show up and play basketball. And Bill obviously could do some great things. I don't know what his availability is going to be on April 12th, but you've got to get this win tonight against Portland. You've got to shake off the ugliness of losing to the first two Western Conference playoff contenders that you've really faced since the All-Star break. Okay. Hold on. That just can. Oh, you got Memphis. Memphis is. Are they still in the eighth seed?
I believe. Hold on.
Or have they fallen out?
They're right there. Memphis is 8, 26 okay. and 23. San Antonio is at 24 and 25.
So, other than Memphis, Scotty, these are the first Western Conference playoff teams that you will have played since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And you are currently 0-2 against those two. You don't want to make this 0-3. A loss to Portland would be not good, not good.
But, you know, the problem is, and you're right, it's not good. But when the schedule comes out, you look at games and go, that's a win, that's a loss. Like there's – and Jerry Sloan used to say this all the time. There's – you look at an NBA schedule, there's 20 games you're going to win because the schedule maker is going to give you 20 wins. There's 20 losses out there because the schedule maker is going to give you 20 losses. It's what you do with those other 40 that determined what kind of a team you are. If I were looking at the schedule and back in whenever it was released and you and I were breaking it down and I were to look at this game, I would say that is a scheduled loss for the Jazz and a scheduled win for Portland. Now, those don't always coincide, but the Jazz have kind of got themselves in a bit of a pickle here where they need to win this game. But the problem is there's a lot of things working against them coming into this game tonight. Because this is one that we would normally look at and say, eh, that's probably going to be an L.
Well, yeah, to the truth of what you're talking about is there's a more likely chance they lose by double digits than they win this game.
Correct.
But there's still something in my gut that says, all right, Donovan Mitchell's a competitor. Rudy Gobert's a competitor. Quinn Snyder is an absolute competitor. And they're looking at this like we can't show three games lost in a row to Western Conference contenders. Can't do it. Can't do it for ourselves. Like, we got to have some self-respect here, guys. Play for pride and try to restore our own belief in ourselves because that Dallas loss is still stinging. Dallas, as you mentioned, had a horribly embarrassing loss to Houston last night.
Yeah.
Horribly embarrassing. Couldn't find a shot. Couldn't buy a shot.
I mean, you got Luke over there losing his mind on the bench, breaking everything in sight. And you don't normally see that out of Luka. He doesn't get that overly emotional, but he knew what was going on and how bad of a loss that was.
What happened with Luka?
Oh, he's throwing water bottles around and smacking chairs and throwing a tantrum.
He was not in a good way, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, that's for Houston. That was their fourth game in 5 days. They've got another tonight as they'll take on Milwaukee. You know, and so those are games you look at like, okay, I can see why they would not play well there. So I'm not giving the Jazz any kind of an out here. In fact, I'm putting more pressure on them because you've kind of given yourself, you know, if you beat you beat Phoenix last night, a loss tonight against Portland is acceptable realizing what you're dealing with. But because you've lost to Dallas, because you've lost to Phoenix, you don't really have that leeway. You haven't given yourself enough deposits in the bank to have a bit of a withdrawal on a bad night. Mm-hmm. So you got to go out there and find a way to win this game.
But then you've got this fill that's looming over the Jazz right now with Portland in town, and that is Damian Lillard is – that guy is a constant headhunter.
Yeah.
He loves to draw targets. And I guarantee you he's got a target drawn on this Jazz game. And if Nurk does play, when Nurk is on the court with Powell as the addition and CJ and Dame and Lillard are both on the court, this team offensively is a masterpiece.
Yeah, they're great offensively.
They're a masterpiece.
Yeah. But what they do on the offensive side, they give up on the defensive side.
Typically. So the Jazz shots are going to have to fall. You know, I could see this being a 118, a 122, 118 game right in there. I just hope the Jazz show up with energy. I hope that they don't, you know, turn belly up and then allow people just to make excuses for them and say, oh, they must be tired.
Yeah. I don't think they will. I don't see that.
I can't imagine it, man. Yeah. I can't imagine it. And, you know, I will not use that as an excuse tomorrow.
No,
and I won't use it as an excuse doing the post game with Jake tonight. I just won't.
I would have given them an excuse had they won, had they gotten 1-1 against Dallas and and Phoenix. I would have been like, you know what?
Letdown's okay there.
Letdown's okay. But now you've given up the opportunity to be let down. And so now it's time to go out there and find a way to get yourself in a better spot. So that's the way, I mean, frankly, that's the urgency is there. You've got to find a way to make it happen. I think the Jazz offensively can play well. In fact, I think you and Jake are going to be talking about, not the Jake that called into the show earlier talking about Miracle Whip, but I really thought that was Jake Scott. I never in a million years thought Lloyd would put some random guy named Jake on the air.
I think you knew he would do that if he was backing the Miracle Whip take. Notice how we took two callers and they all
said I'm telling you, everybody that's called in has
look
said
at the
Miracle
poll,
Whip.
Look at the poll question, Lloyd. It's like
yeah, I see what it's
70%.
Doing. I see what it's doing, yeah.
Oh, it's 75% male. 1,000 votes?
Yeah, you've swayed it.
You can't sway 1,000 votes on a poll?
Faith in humanity or something. I don't know what you do.
Holy cow, there's a lot of responses. What? Oh, why is... Oh. Amy Donaldson saying she doesn't eat either.
She doesn't eat?
She does not
eat. Oh, eat either. I thought you were saying, like, she doesn't eat either.
Miracle
like, just eat.
And...
Okay, wait a minute. And John Kuhn says the same thing. Well, what are you putting on your sandwich then?
Yeah, how does that slide down
dry.
Your throat?
Dry. Just dry.
No.
That's,
nope.
That's just not good.
That's not an option. That must be ranch.
Or, heaven forbid, mustard. I don't want mustard on my turkey sandwich.
It's got to be ranch. This guy said he puts turkey gravy.
What, you got like just turkey gravy hanging out in your fridge all the time?
What, are you just heating up the Thanksgiving
leftover? I'm impressed with that. I'm not hating.
And Jody Ginnessy has really come hard at this whole thing. He's really attacking this.
Jody's on the Mayo side?
Looks like it.
Oh,
no, he's not on the Mayo. He's on the Miracle Whip.
Well,
if you're going to put Jody's opinion out there on this, then let's at least have it right.
I can't tell which way he's leaning.
I think he said Miracle Whip, so I feel like that's the way he's
don't
leaning.
Put words in his mouth.
Okay. Oh.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Look, I didn't mean to get you off the rails there. I'm just still surprised that anybody actually eats that stuff.
It's horrible.
Steve goes, wait, what's wrong with mustard? Mustard's fine. I'm not going to use it as on a turkey sandwich.
As a base.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so overpowering.
I mean, mustard's got its place for sure, but I don't know.
And you really have to put something smooth and creamy on that gets that thing flowing south.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it stops right there at the top of the gullet, and you're going to be choking down dry bread.
Nobody wants that.
No. I guess you could soften it a little bit in the microwave, the bread and the stuff, but still, it's got to have that lubricant. Has to.
801-285-9731. That's the number to call. Melissa's with us from Sound Sleep Medical. You get a free sleep screening, a free sleep consultation. You've offered the consultation before, but the screening for free is awesome.
That's really great. Such a huge offer today. It's great to know that you can do this at home in your own bed. You know, a lot of people have told me, I don't know if I have sleep apnea, but I don't care. Because one, I don't want to use a CPAP. Two, there's no way I could ever do that test overnight in that hospital. And sure enough, I've had patients who have actually walked out of that test before. And this is something you get to do at home in the convenience and comfort of your own bed. Today, we are offering it for free.
801-285-9731. And here's the thing. If you are dealing with sleep apnea, if you need to get tested, we're offering that free sleep screening. If you already know that you have sleep apnea and you're like, I don't want the CPAP machine. I don't want this big machine next to my bed. I don't know how to travel with it. I want to go camping with my family. I want to do all this stuff. Well, guess what? There's an oral appliance that is customized specifically for you and your teeth that's going to fit and help you with your sleep apnea.
Absolutely. And not only that, it's likely covered by your health insurance.
Wow.
You know, you probably have a benefit for this that you are just not using. And things like HSA or flex spending accounts, this qualifies for that because it's medical. And if you happen to be unlucky and you don't have a benefit, we offer 0% financing to help you out.
So something that kind of sits in my mind while you're talking about this is, oh, man, I just don't have the time. It seems really time-consuming. I think a lot of people out there are in a hurry. How involved is this? How difficult is this, the take-home test and to come in and be checked?
You know, it's pretty easy. The take-home test, honestly, you can just – obviously, we need a little bit of notice, but just drop in. Pick it up from the front desk. Just pick up this little kit of equipment.
And it has its instructions.
Absolutely. It's got instructions in there. We'll obviously let you know how to do it. But a quick appointment and then come back and see us the next day. Spend, you know, half an hour with us. Let's download it. Let's see if you have sleep apnea. Talk to one of our trained sleep consultants. Even if you have to take a little time off work to come in and see us, you know, for that half an hour appointment, it is worth your health. It is an investment into your future and, frankly, your quality of life today even. If you're tired, dragging through your day, that's a really tough way to live your life.
Yeah. 801-285-9731. Let's get that phone call made. Get your free sleep screening, free sleep consultation. Find out where you're at. Again, 801-285-9731 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Craig Bowlerjack, TV voice of the Utah Jazz. And we're also seeing these teams get up for the Jazz. I mean, how else do you explain Dallas beating the Jazz and being brilliant and then losing to the Rockets and sucking so completely?
To be respected at the highest of levels is knowing now that you are targeted. This is a good team, and there's all-stars for a reason. I give credit to the Jazz. I thought they played hard. Second half, entertaining. Yeah, they just couldn't get it done in overtime. They'll figure it out. People get panicky because there's a lot of hype and a lot of expectations, but still a lot of basketball to be played.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview, or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans?
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
.32, getting close to wrapping up a Thursday edition of the show. Remember, we're live here at Sound Sleep Medical. Give them a call, 801-285-9731. That's 801-285-9731. By the way, a little bit of news on the Utah coaching front. Eric Peterson, who's been with Craig Smith at South Dakota, at Utah State, and this is no surprise. I think we all have been reporting this for quite some time, but is going to be joining Craig Smith's staff at Utah. The announcement came out about an hour ago.
That completes the group, doesn't it?
Not yet. Peterson and Slocum have been announced. I think there's another spot that's still available.
Oh.
We've just assumed Peterson's been on it. It's been now made official. So
that's right.
I don't anticipate there'll be another coach coming from Utah State, from the old staff, as far as I can tell. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for sure.
Dustin Johnson just hitting out of the pine straw. He is rolling up onto the green. I'm enamored by Lee Westwood's collapse here in the first round, Scotty. Lee Westwood at +6.
Wow. That's got to hurt for somebody.
Well, for Lee, I'm sure. I wouldn't imagine anybody else.
That's not bothering me. You can say it all you want. You can keep repeating this. It won't bother me.
Oh, well, wait.
Your guy Beef.
Boy, did you have him?
Yeah, I did. Your guy Beef still has to get through the course, so, and he's like already +3.
Beef's is strong.
Yeah, so I'm actually fine.
Beef's DeChambeau is currently +3 through 7 holes. That is not too good there, Bryson.
Yeah, he might surpass Lee Westwood by the time this thing's done.
He very well could.
Yeah.
Obviously,
but nobody took him though, did they?
These greens are rolling pretty quick.
He was left on the board, right?
Pretty quick.
Who was left on the board?
Beef's. Nobody took him though.
I can't remember who got him, but we were told not to take him by was it Brian Taylor or Bob Casper?
I think that was Brian.
Hey, Colin Morikawa is playing good.
Is he?
That's good.
Are you joking or
no? Fools? He's doing all right.
Of course he is, because I didn't take him.
He's even through 5. So that's good.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what's going on with Beefs. I don't. I'm not paying close attention to him at the time because John Rahm is 1 under, so that's good.
I've got Dustin Johnson, right?
Yep, yes, you
Schauffele,
do.
And I don't remember who my other guy is.
Wasn't it Webb Simpson?
I can't remember.
I will tell you right now. You have, in order, you took Schauffele. That's the last one. This is our 21 Masters. Oh, you took Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, and Tony Finau.
Oh, that's right, Tony. I forgot about that.
The local product, Tony Finau. Lloyd does have Lee Westwood.
Oh.
I told you.
Lloyd went
Lee
Westwood.
Is your headset not working?
Justin
Turn it
Thomas
up. Crank it up.
And Webb Simpson.
Is your headset not working? Because I said that. I got Lee Westwood.
Justin Thomas coming out of the pine straw, struggling as well. So there you go, just kind of a little bit of a Masters update.
Well, good to know. We're here for you. All right, time for Total Recall right here on the Zone Sports Network. Let's start with our conversation as we begin the show, our takeaways from the Jazz and the Suns from last night.
There were two things that I took away from this game that I am a little bit disturbed with. Number one, I'm disturbed with the fact that the Utah Jazz were out-hustled for 50-50 balls and their own defensive rebounds, allowing the Phoenix Suns to get way too many second-chance opportunities, and sometimes in the same possession, 2 or 3 opportunities in the same possession. I didn't like the fact that the Jazz were out-hustled and out-rebounded 61-45.
Yeah.
That bugged me. The only other thing that really bugged me watching this game was watching Bojan Bogdanović double clutch the 3. When the game was on the line and things were the momentum was shifting and the Jazz needed a big shot, the ball rotates out like it should in the blender. It rotates out. It finds Bojan in stride, perfect pass on target. He brings it chest high. He cocks to shoot. He double clutches, and then he tries to fire the shot. Watching Bojan Bogdanović do this to himself is difficult for me to watch. He is too good of a player. He is too good of a shooter. He is everything that the Jazz needed him to be when they originally brought him to this organization, to watch him double clutch when the game's on the line. Can't happen. If you're going to be in that starting five and you're going to be in the closing minutes of a game that's on the line in a playoff-like setting, you can't double clutch that and second guess yourself and then hoist it and miss it. It's just those two things. Those two things had me frustrated. Outside of that, I thought the Jazz played really well. They fought their butts off.
Well, let's start with the rebounding thing, and I think this is there's a bit of a bigger issue. I love the way that Phoenix schemed against the Utah Jazz. The high pick and roll got Rudy out of the paint and allowed, especially down the stretch, the Suns to get some great mid-range opportunities that either Devin Booker or Chris Paul were hitting time and time again.
And Chris Paul is one of the best in the NBA at that mid-range.
Now there's a lot of people out there that said, why are the Jazz allowing that to happen? Well, that's actually, if you look at the numbers, and I thought Andy Larson did a good job with this tweeting out, because there are a lot of people like, why are they allowing that mid-range jumper? Well, because that's the shot that you actually want them to take more often than not. Phoenix was much more efficient at the rim and much more efficient at three than they were the mid-range. But just because we saw a few shots late that Chris Paul hit made you think, okay, well, that's why they lost the game. You are spot on the rebounding, but I do think that what Phoenix did was get Rudy out of the paint to the point where they could use their size advantage with Rudy out of the paint to get offensive rebounds. They got, I think, off nearly 31-32% of available shots are available offensive rebounds they were able to collect on multiple possessions, and multiple offensive rebounds on multiple possessions. And when you have, Joe Ingles or Donovan Mitchell or Royce O'Neal in the paint trying to rebound against Ayton's going to win that battle more often than not because Rudy's out of the paint because of the high pick and roll. So I thought it was a really interesting schematic issue that Phoenix was able to do to really pull Rudy out of the paint and allow opportunities for second chance opportunities. That was to me the biggest issue in the game. And then the Jazz, the one other thing too that I'm really concerned about, and this is, and I thought, I don't know if it was DJ or PK who brought this up, but I'm not calling it a weakness, but right now a vulnerability of the Jazz. And it's something that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. They're allowing way too many opportunities for teams in transition. And I don't know what they've got to do, if they've got to pull people back instead of crashing offensive rebounds. But how many opportunities did we see Devin Booker get at the rim in transition time and time and time again? Whether it was a turnover or whether it was just a long rebound that was taken in stride, whatever the case is, the Jazz have to be better in transition defense.
I'm going to take a David Locke approach on just the address of that right there, Scotty, and say Devin Booker may be the quickest first step on transition movement of any NBA player that I've seen. When he got that, when there was that tip, I think it was the opening tip
in overtime. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a player get from half court to the rim so fast as Devin Booker. So to David Locke's point, sometimes a team is just excellent at a certain area, and I think the Jazz are facing a couple of players, including Devin Booker, that are excellent at that area, and defending it is very difficult. I'm not saying you don't effort to defend it, but those teams are going to get a lot of those transition buckets, whether you pay full attention or half attention. But to your point, last night did feel like an overabundance of allowance of that quick transition.
Yeah, no, that he's great. There's no doubt, but there was way too much of that, and it was just poor defensive rebounding. We haven't seen a game like that since the Nuggets game, which actually the Jazz ended up winning when they got dominated in the paint like that, and transition defense. Those are my two things. You clean that stuff up, you win that game. I don't even care if everybody's pointing to the three-point shot. Okay, well, you're going to have bad three-point shooting. What do you adjust? I actually like the fact that the Jazz ended up with, 60-some-odd points in the paint last night, in realizing that, okay, our three-point shot's not falling. They adjusted at halftime. They went more to the rim in the second half, and they got points in the paint. I would like to see that kind of an adjustment made between the first and the second quarter than between the second and the third. But regardless, I thought the Jazz did a really smart job in adjusting who they were, and that offense started clicking there in the second half.
Okay, now I want to get your thoughts on Boyan.
Oh yeah, no, you're right, 100% right on that. Sorry, yeah, you can't double clutch that. You're a member of this Utah Jazz to take those shots. Look, there's a lot of good things that they do, and I appreciate the fact that he tried to alter his game a little bit and try to get to the rim and finish at the rim, because we've heard coaches say that. Look, if your shot's not falling, then pump fake, drive, get to the rim, get to the free throw line. But you don't double clutch and then shoot the three again. And there is, you know, look, he's got the yips, he's got whatever Lloyd term, golf term you want to throw in there, whatever the case is, he's got it right now. He's got the El Hosels. And he's got to shoot through it. Look, Jordan Clarkson's not double clutching that shot. You know, Jordan Clarkson, for good or bad, is going to keep cranking those shots. Yeah.
So what made it even more frustrating for me in that moment was, I believe he'd made three threes. I think he was like 3 of 4 at that point. It was actually his better night from the perimeter.
Yeah.
Like, that was a moment in a flow. Like, I'd rather see him take that shot in that moment, certainly, than Royce O'Neal. Maybe even more than Mike Conley in that moment. Because Mike Conley had hoisted up a few threes, and Mike Conley's three-point shooting last night was horrible. In that moment, it felt like Boyan was the hottest hand from the perimeter, and it ended up in his hand in perfect rhythm. And when he double clutched it, I just thought, okay, I've got to really talk about this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, well, it's time to move on from Boyan, or it's time to restrict minutes, or it's time to get Joe more minutes on the court. I'm saying Boyan needs to remember who the heck he is.
Yeah. If he takes that shot in stride and misses it, all right. That's all right.
I'm fine with it. I'm dealing with it. Because then, you know, he ends up whatever he would be at that point, 3 of 5 or 3 of 6 on the night. But, or 4, you know, if he makes it 4 of 5, 4 of 6, or whatever he is on that night. But Boyan, I thought, was the hottest perimeter hand, and to watch him double clutch it, Scotty, was upsetting. And it was very telling of what he's dealing with. He's dealing with more than I think we've talked about. Because a true shooter in that moment feeling good about his shot would never double clutch when that game was on the line. What was there, 35, 40 seconds left?
Yeah.
That was the possession right before Donovan hit the three to tie it. Is that right?
Correct.
So, really tough to watch that from Boyan.
There you go. Conversation regarding the Jazz and the Suns from last night. Jazz, little time to worry about that one. They're back in action coming up tonight as they square off against the Portland Trail Blazers. Wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
When you're as high as Zach Wilson is in this draft, I think a team has contacted him. They might be lying to him, but I would be pretty surprised if he didn't have a pretty good idea where he was going to end up going. Now, these things can change.
It's different at 2, though, Gordon, because you've heard the stories in the past of guys who get picked later in the draft. Hey, Denver called me, and they said they're going to pick me. Because stuff happens. You never know. But with the number 2 pick, like, we're going to take you at number 2, unless you go 1, I guess. And then we'll deal with it. But when you're picking number 2, that's a little different than if you're around in the 7th, you're going to be a Tennessee Titan.
Right, exactly.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
You know, you remember the show a couple months ago when we're doing a perfectly fine sports radio show and we bring up pretzel salad and it dominates the entire show.
I know.
Today it was mayonnaise versus Miracle Whip.
And guess what? Lloyd has been the center of these epic food fails both times.
Both of them.
I'll bet he'll use Miracle Whip in his pretzel salad next time he makes it.
Taking 2 big L's so far.
Why put whipped cream when you can use Miracle Whip between the raspberry and the pretzel? Lloyd, you're ruining your food, man.
Yeah. Come on, Lloyd, be better.
And to Kathy, I want Kathy out there to know, the one female listener that we have that called in today, I want Kathy out there to know that Scotty and I love you and appreciate you.
We do, and we appreciate you listening.
But you don't, not really.
But we can't agree with what you said on air.
Nope.
Miracle Whip is an abomination.
The things you guys said about her off air was not cool.
Miracle Whip should be gathered up from all homes and thrown into a fiery pit.
Yeah, I think you're right on all of that.
And Steve Clocky said mustard. Mustard should only be used in small parts. Like I'm talking 10 to 1 parts of mayo and mustard, or maybe even 12 to 1 parts mayo, mustard. Like, you just don't use mustard to dress a sandwich.
No.
No.
Mustard on a dog.
Yes.
On a brat. Sandwich? No.
No.
No. No.
Some guy said, well, mustard's only used with red meats on a sandwich. It's really red or white. It needs to be mixed with mayo.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, roast beef and mustard, they pair pretty well together. Like, I'll give you that.
Better than mustard and turkey.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And because it gives you the same kind of, as horseradish a little bit. Kind of has that little, like, that little, I don't know.
Grit?
Yeah, something like that. So I'll do mustard a little bit on roast, like on a roast beef sandwich, but that is it. And even then, I'll still go if mayo's not available.
I'm so hungry. I'd almost eat Miracle Whip right now.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you and I try to restrict ourselves.
Give me a final prediction tonight.
Okay. Jazz 115, Portland 102.
I am going to go Jazz 117, Portland 110. Jazz 117, Portland 110 tonight. I think the Jazz respond. Even though they are limited on sleep, I think that they better show up with a bad attitude tonight and defend their home court. 22, I think, straight victories.
Yeah.
On their home court.
Which I hear that, and my initial thought is like, well, they're due to lose a game. You know,
well, I'm hoping that they do not have their first three-game losing streak starting tonight. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to be on air with Jake. I always have a blast with Jake, and he usually insults me, and I physically assault him, and then we end up in some type of meeting.
Please, no meetings tomorrow. I'm even pleading with some random guy named Jake, who calls in that there's no meeting tomorrow.
I can't believe you thought that was Jake Scott, man. We got to talk about that tomorrow. So you really thought that was Jake Scott?
Well, I said, hey, Jake's on the line. And I'm like, okay, we're at the end of the segment. And I'm thinking that's the only reason he would bring in somebody at the end of a segment if it's a member of our staff.
Because we're 5 minutes over clock, and you and I are really strict with that stuff.
Well, we're not, but Lloyd tries to be. And so Lloyd usually doesn't enable us to be late. And so he's like, hey, I got Jake on the line. I'm like, okay, well, hey, Jake, let's go.
It's like I'm saying.
And here this whole time, I feel like you're just having fun, like acting like it's actually Jake Scott.
No, 100%.
I was like Lloyd's so confused.
Saying, hey, guys, I've got these 5 raspberry-filled powder-covered donuts. Of course we're going to eat it.
Yeah. Like, oh, guys, that was salt. That wasn't sugar. Like, you guys should have known that. How am I supposed to know that?
You're telling me the white substance was salt?
Makes no sense. All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Melissa's with us one last time. And, Melissa, we can't stress this enough. If you're dealing with sleep apnea, there's so many issues. I mean, look, we're all concerned about our immune system. That can be hurt by sleep apnea, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease. All of that can be attributed to or made worse by sleep apnea. You got to get it taken care of.
Absolutely. There is no reason to not treat your sleep apnea. You know, in the past, people have thought the only way they could do that is with the CPAP. Pretty inconvenient and uncomfortable. But now there is something much better, much easier. It's this custom-made oral appliance. It's just a mouthpiece that you wear at night to stabilize your lower jaw and keep your airway open, oxygen levels up. do this now so that you don't deal with all of these health issues down the road. Maybe maybe you're young and you haven't accumulated some of these things yet, but if you have sleep apnea and you're ignoring it, it's going to catch up to you, guaranteed. So why not sleep with this in your mouth and save yourself from all of that trouble down the road?
801-285-9731. You make that phone call right now and you'll get in. You'll have a free sleep screening and a free sleep consultation so you can find out if you have sleep apnea or not, absolutely for free.
Yeah, no obligation. And what better offer can you have out there? Come and find out. We'll do the test for free. You can meet with our sleep specialist for free. There's no obligation. And if at the very least, you walk away with information knowing whether or not you have sleep apnea.
801-285-9731. Call that number right now, 801-285-9731. Thanks for letting us hang out here.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
have a great day.
You're Team Mayonnaise, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. There we go. Awesome.
Glad to hear it.
Love it. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Big Show coming up next.